All right, we're going to start the second show in like 1 minute. Find your spaces to sit. Find your seat pieces. Put your meat pieces in your seat pieces. All right, lights down. We're ready to go. They're having an arm wrestling match in the corner there. Let's do it. It's like, who's paying for this date? All right. I like making you guys feel awkward before each show. It's a new tradition. And here we go.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called...
Stab!
Stab.
It's Stab. It's Stab again. Stab. Restabbed.
Stab.
Welcome to Stab. I'm your host, John Ross. Are you guys ready to meet your contestants of Stab? You bet you are. Please welcome to the stage first. He's sitting right there. He only has to walk a couple feet. Mr. Steve Ferris. Steve. The sleeve.
Stab.
Ferris. Sitting in the middle. Filling in for his girlfriend, Becky Lynn. Please welcome to the stage, Ben Rice, Benjamin Rice, and welcome to the stage one more time, the very lovely, talented, and sweet Mr. Jesse, the Lake Jones, Jesse the Lake, part of the body, Jesse Jones, Jesse the Fibula, Jones, welcome. You guys are hype. Hyped up. How are you, crowd? How are you, crowd? Good. It got a little weird. We lost like half of our crowd in between shows.
Oh, so like four or five. Oh, wait. Yeah, that's half the crowd.
Yeah, I think it's because of the earthquake. And there was an earthquake in Southern California, and that's where a lot of our demographic, live demographic comes.
So fire and earthquake? We're just going to...
Fires, yeah. God hates SoCal. Sorry. All right, Stephen Ferris, how are you?
Good.
Good. Steve, you know, when I was setting up to write mean jokes about you, it felt really bad. It felt really bad to do. But I'll read it. Can I read it? Steve, how old are you?
I am 35.
You're 35?
Yeah.
You look good for 35.
Thank you.
Steve Ferris often opens his stand-up sets asking the crowd, what do you want to do? If only his mom had a different answer when he asked his dad that 35 years ago. See, I feel bad.
I don't get it.
Because your dad would be like, what do you want to do? And then your mom's like, sex. And then you were born.
The same day?
No. A year, 9 months later.
I like the idea of it being a gangbang, and she's like, what do you guys want to do?
Wow.
What do you guys want to do?
I didn't want to make her a slut. Sorry, Steve.
What are you implying?
I'm implying I wish you were never born. That's like...
All right. So,
but but I just for... Would you put your hat back on for the whole show?
You don't have. If you want, I'm all. Can you get it for me? Because I'm all set up.
He's all set up. Steve's all set up. The only reason I'm making you put this on because I want to do another joke about you.
All right. Well, this way I can put the flaps over my ears and I don't have to hear it.
I like your hat, Steve. I like your whole outfit.
What?
You look like. I like your outfit.
Thanks.
That hat you're wearing makes you look like a pretend pilot. And a couch is the airplane. It was funnier earlier, right, Cheryl? It was a lot funnier. All right.
I don't get the couch part, though.
Because you look like a couch.
I see. Okay.
You look like a couch.
It's the hound's
Danielle,
tooth.
Put that on the Instagram. Right.
I don't know if I've ever actually seen a houndstooth couch, though.
A houndstooth? I don't know. Well, who knows? Thanks, Steve. We're done.
All right.
It's almost impossible to insult Stephen Ferris.
I know. It's hard.
He is rubber.
Becky Lynn.
Hey, how's it going?
Is your girlfriend.
Yep.
She was supposed to be here tonight, but
correct.
She was having some issues, some pains, mm-hmm. and you filled in for her on 2 hours' notice.
Yep.
So I'm giving you the permission to suck.
Thank you.
Thank you for filling in for her on such late notice, Jesse Jones. Yeah. Let's get the show started.
Yeah.
Jesse Jones is here again,
hey.
Huh? And another show. So I guess what I'm saying is try and look on the bright side, crowd. Try and look. Okay. Three for three. Three yeah. for three.
Three up, three down.
I just retired the side.
Yeah.
Let's place down. Let's do it.
Did you give yourself 24 hours to write these shows?
That hurts. This first segment is called This Was Today Once. Stephen Ferris, on this date, 1919, Skippy Baxter, Canadian-American figure skater and coach, was born. Also on this date, 1928, the government of Colombia sends military forces to suppress a month-long strike by the United Fruit Company workers, resulting in an unknown number of deaths. How did you celebrate the aforementioned topics in tandem?
All right. How did I celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Mm-hmm.
By tandem figure skating, of course.
Okay.
United Fruit Company on ice. Tried to look up some moves that Skippy might have done and arrange a Latin jazzed up version of the theme from Schindler's List to skate to. You know, because all those people died or something.
Right.
Depressing, but also it's got to have some rhythm so you can skate.
That's true.
There was actually a kid with the last name Baxter in my fifth grade class, and one time we did a class camping trip by the Yuba River, and he didn't like me. I remember one time he got mad because he didn't want to sleep in the same tent with me or something, so he went on strike. And refused to do it.
Sorry.
So,
Steve, I'm really sorry for the unkind words I said earlier. You could take your hat off if you want. If you want.
All right.
Thanks, Steve. All right. Yeah. Becky Lynn.
Yes, John.
Ben Rice. William. Oh, on this date, 1894, William C. Hooker received the patent for the mouse trap. Also on this date, 1967, Judd Apatow was born. How did you celebrate these events combined?
Fun fact, John. Did you know that Judd Apatow's name makes for a perfect beatbox?
Mm-mm.
Judd Apatow. Judd Apatow. I realized this when I wrote an a cappella theme song for my ill-fated political podcast, Bipartisan Curious. co-hosted by Dorian Foster and my much more significant other, Becky Lynn.
Becky Lynn.
Yes. For those who paid good money to see her here tonight, which people do for her, I'm sorry. I never get people out. my deepest apologies. Congratulations, John, by the way, on replacing an African-American female on this panel with a straight white male.
You're welcome.
When there were only two already of the three. Very bold. Very daring. Anyway, you can find Bipartisan Curious, all two episodes, count them, two episodes, on podcast suppliers everywhere. While you're at it, check out my critically acclaimed beer podcast, Barley and Me, as featured in Sacktown Magazine this very month.
That's right.
It's also been featured in the Sacramento Bee Sunday edition.
With the coupons.
It was also voted by CBS as one of the 10 best Sacramento-based podcasts in 2015. also I wrote the long-awaited screenplay adaptation of Rube Goldbergian board game Mousetrap and start my final draft on Judd Apatow's... God damn it.
Judd Apatow.
Oh, yeah. I also wrote the long-awaited screenplay adaptation of Rube Goldbergian board game Mousetrap and sat my final draft down on Judd Apatow's desk this very afternoon. I went and did some hookers and blow, because I'm big time now, and I don't need this shit, John.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah. Jesse Jones, on this date, 1861, the inventor of basketball, James Naismith, was born. Also on this date, 1999, Australian voters rejected a referendum to drop Britain's queen as their head of state. How did you celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
I'm sorry. I'm a little sweaty and short of breath. I just ran over here from my Wednesday night originalist traditional basketball rec league. Truth be told, the majority of the physical activity arises from the repeated ascending and descending of the ladder to fish the soccer ball from the peach basket. Why, this week, the two clubs scored 9 whole points between them. It's a lot of ladder climbing. But what ultimately delayed my arrival this evening was a bit of league housekeeping. You see, 2 of the original 6 team captains proposed introducing a new front office position, which they dubbed commissioner. They proposed that this commissioner would be in charge of oversight of game fairness and safety, proposal and implementation of new rules, and fostering the healthy growth and expansion of the league. I was gobstruck! Hearing such talk from these very gentlemen with whom I'd spent lo these years sporting alongside. Especially distressing was hearing this while they still dressed in their team's uniforms of heavy wool suits, bowler hats, and cravats. It's originalist traditional basketball.
Right.
As introduced by Mr. Naismith. I am a firm believer that our game continues to prosper under the watchful oversight of our league's Lord Master, Edwin IV. Now, it is true that the role of league's Lord Master has become little more than ceremonial. A toothless figurehead, which some say no longer represents our league players or even our very sport. But which I propose still, at very least, represents the core ideal of what it once stood for. And that there I see no call to abandon our historical dedication to the office's oversight and governance or alter our current commitment to the ornaments of implements thereof. For if we do, what will then soon follow after? The implementation of ball advancement through the act of dribbling? Why, the very thought of it! I will not see my beloved sport fall into such tragic shambles and disarray in the way that American Rounders has. God save basketball's Lord Master.
Very good. I enjoyed it.
Sorry.
That was
Slayer.
This was Today Once. That brings us to our next segment. It's called Reorganization. We do it a lot. Nope. Wrong one.
Nope. That's not
there it. We go. That brings us to our next segment, Reorganization. Please take this existing acronym, reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Being that we're within about 2 or 3 weeks of it being legal, today's acronym is WEED, W-E-E-D. Steve, what does WEED mean to you?
Okay, I came up with Western Educators Eastern Division.
Okay.
It's a meetup.com group for teachers and faculty from Western Europe and the Americas to get together and discuss and share ideas that come from East Asian curriculums, meet new people, and hook up to fuck singles in your area.
Very, very good, Steve. Very good. Very good. Benjamin Rice, what does WEED mean to you?
Have you ever done weed? Dude, come on. How many weeds have you done today? Dude, weed's the most popular thing going, but dude, come on. No one knows about it. That's what makes it so fucking cool, man. It's like, bro, dude, man, dude, it's like mind-blowing. Once you do weed, things will never be the same. Your mind? Dude, come on! It's gonna be so fucking open. Open to new shit, new experiences. Dude, come on! You're gonna get out of the hive mind and become one with the earth, dude. So do weed! What everyone else does.
Very good. Ben Rice, what everyone else does. Jesse Jones, what does weed mean to you?
Management is sending this inter-office email to all employees in regards to the upcoming holiday party to be held this Friday at the Mimi's Cafe on Alonzo Boulevard. See the attached map for directions. Remember, you are allowed to take a half day with pay only if you attend the holiday party. You will not be credited the 4 hours unless you sign in with Lori Singh at Mimi's Cafe by no later than 1:15. The main purpose of this email is to attempt to curb any potential weed, which may rear its ugly head again this year, as it has for the last several holiday parties thrown by this company. We believe that if we can all make our best effort, that we can avoid yet another white elephant exchange debacle. $10. There is a reason that those words have been bolded, underlined, and typed in all caps for the purpose of this email. It is management's sincere belief that if everyone simply adheres to the basic rule that the value of white elephant gifts remains under the $10 limit, that many of the problems of the past can remain safely there. Remember, it isn't just how much the item cost you. When Dante Bishop included that Beats Pill wireless Bluetooth speaker based on the fact that he was re-gifting it and therefore cost him nothing, that was outside the spirit of the $10 value agreement. And was directly responsible for the firing of 7 individuals and $4,500 in damage to the spaghetti factory on 4th Street, to which we are no longer welcome. Remember, if there are any weed problems this year with this year's holiday party, we will be forced to implement a gift card only policy for all future holiday parties, and that all but defeats the entire purpose of the gift exchange. So please do your part in helping prevent yet another white elephant exchange debacle. And remember, if you use the word Christmas in any official company correspondence, you will be required to attend mandatory sensitivity retraining and be suspended for 1 week without pay. Happy holidays.
Very good. That was weed. Oh my God, so funny. I literally got a wireless speaker and Bluetooth earbuds at a white elephant exchange. $20 literally a week ago.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And it caused weird shit in the office too. Yeah, it did. John got the I bought whiskey cubes.
That was inside your head.
That was amazing. All right, let's move on to the next topic. This next segment is called the top 5 Google searches of. Gentlemen, please have written the top 5 Google searches from the perspective of a drunk or inebriated Santa Claus. One at a time. Steve Ferris, you first.
Okay, this one's also it's kind of a reorganization too, but anyway. CHP Chimney Highway Patrol.
Okay. Very good.
He's doing double duty. That's awesome.
That's right. Remember, an inebriated Santa Claus. Google searches. Ben Rice.
LinkedIn sleigh guides.
Okay. Very good.
Sort of tying into that. My first. If the reindeer are sober, can I still get a ticket?
Good question. Steve, you're second of five.
North Patrol.
All right. Ben Rice.
YouTube Misfits demo.
We'll get that one later. You got it?
Craigslist casual encounters seeking ho, ho, ho.
Third of five.
If my face glows brighter than Rudolph's nose, will the sleigh go backwards?
That's a great question. Ben.
Adult toys?
Jesse Jones.
Mistletoe belt buckle.
Steve, fourth of five.
North Pole sexual harassment policies.
Ben?
Yes, Queen, slay!
Jesse Jones.
Naughty list nudes.
And your fifth of five, Steve Ferris.
Elf BJ POV. Reindeer looking pussy.
I love how you laugh at the end of all your sexual ones. It's cute.
Well, it's because I'm anticipating something that may or may not happen. You know.
Very good, Steve. Ben.
Is a red nose a sign of alcoholism?
Just a joke.
My last one. Who'd win in a fight, me or Jesus?
Very good. That was the top five Google searches from the perspective of an inebriated Santa Claus. That brings us to our next segment called Movie Makeup. Please have written the synopsis for these movie titles that I gave you. Steve Ferris, or show titles. Steve Ferris, the name of your show. It's called Stranger Things. Stranger Things.
Okay. From Netflix and the producers of Glee, it's the musical version of Stranger Things. It takes place like in the 90s instead of the 80s. Because Things is more like from the 90s, right?
Sure.
I actually think this would work pretty well because the second season had those punks that hung out with number eight,
right? Right.
And like, so they could be like a punk band, play some music, and then like I was thinking like, the people from the lab,
yeah,
could be, because they're kind of like the Men in Black. They could do like a cover of Men in Black,
okay,
and then have like the Demogorgon comes out. Because remember in the music video with Will Smith, like the alien.
Okay.
But it's like a Demogorgon. So.
That's it?
That's as far as I got.
That sounds good. Stranger Things. Ben Rice, the name of the production you have been given is House of Sharts. House of Sharts.
In a world where everyone's a suspect and everyone has pink eye. It's up to timid freshman pledge Randy Flushings Brown to solve this mystery. It's a race against time, as at any moment, someone could die. Aria. And when all the solid leads dry up, Flushing Brown discovers he has footage of the night in question. When a vivacious Facebook vixen Facebook Live his awkward attempts to white knight her in a clip she called Shy Sir Video. It's a brash blend of Who Done It and Whoever Smelt It Dealt It in House of Sharts.
Very good, Ben Rice. House of Sharts. House of Sharts with a Z.
With a Z.
With a Z. Jesse Jones. Thangs,
yeah. I believe.
What's that?
Stranger Things. Also with
Stranger Things was with all these are with Z's, by the way. Okay. Jesse Jones, the movie you've been given is Lady Turds.
Yeah.
Lady Bird. Lady yeah. Turds. Okay, okay.
Well, this is actually a project I've been working on for a while now, and I'm about ready to start seeking backers, so I'm really excited for this opportunity to try and sort of dry run my pitch. To the studios for you guys. A workshop. Okay. Okay. In the vein of last year's all-female reboot of Ghostbusters and the upcoming reboot of the all-female Ocean's 11, Lady Turds is, in a nutshell, basically an all-female remake of the 1990 Emilio Estevez Charlie Sheen classic Men at Work. Starring, naturally, Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy. Except, instead of garbage men, they play a pair of sanitation vac truck drivers that clean the porta-potties at the 1997 Lilith Fair Festival. Pushing the line of gross-out comedy that women don't normally get to touch, it's two lazy, crude women burping, farting, and scratching their way through the motions of this disgusting job that they both oddly cherish. And just like Men at Work, we'll shoehorn some nonsensical crime plot into the mix. Let's say some caricature of chauvinism played by Will Ferrell or Jason Sudeikis, or hell, why not both? And they're trying to steal the gate receipts from the last night of the festival. And it's up to two fun-loving lady shit vacuumers to stop them the only way they know how. Disgustingly. And you can be damn sure that at some point in all these hijinks, Melissa McCarthy finds herself clumsily tumbling headfirst into the business end of one shitter, screaming in horror as she splashes down into the frothy, piping hot broth below. And in an image, I'm not only building the entire first trailer around, but the whole damn movie itself. She comes up out of the muck, wiping yuck out of her eyes and scraping it off her face, only to reveal, dangling from the corner of her mouth, a long pearly string. Lady Turds.
Wait, there's more.
It doesn't. I should just stop there. Lady Turds. Rated R for coarse language, suggestive situations, and implied used tampon chewing.
Very good, very good, very good, everyone, very good. Wrong button. All right, this brings us to the last segment of the evening, called "Write an Erotic Poem About It." Gentlemen, please have written an erotic poem in regards to the following topics. Steve Ferris, please have written an erotic poem about breaking your leg.
Okay. I'm going to try to do this in a voice.
Backstage, my heart pounding. Its beat sounding like soap cover hands washing. In my pussy. Sloshing. The crowd roars, free, like a lioness in an orgy. Magician's hands gliding through the slick air, casting spells all over my pubic hair.
Oh,
soon two halves, but now still whole. Each magic man shall have a hole. I lay motionless inside the black box, clasping the moment I'll be chopped up by Cox. Split at the split at the waist, each half on a cart. It might be tonight when they pull me apart. The crowd cannot see there's a hole for my mouth. And the other box has a hole for down south. Oh, man. I feel the cart make its way to the stage, my heart in my pussy beating off with a rage. Please, please make it tonight, I hear myself beg. Another voice whispers, go break a leg.
Very good, Steve. That voice is going to give me nightmares. This is going to be... It's a high... This may be... This may be the highest brow night of Stab ever. Ben Rice, please have written an erotic poem about picking your nose. Picking your nose. Oh, man.
I was going to do an erotic voice, but I can't. It's not going to work. Harder. Deeper. Faster. I like the pain in my mucous membrane. You're so hot and thick when you give my insides a flick. Make that come hither motion, and I'll come. Slither down that fat finger, ebbing and flowing like the ocean. The skin, the knuckle, the nail. And speaking of nail, I want you to pound me into the underside of a table. If you're able. And leave me there for someone else to find. I'll be rock hard for you some other time. Because love grows where my rosemary goes. And nobody knows picks but me.
Very good. Ben Rice.
Jesse Jones. I sang on it. Did you see?
Thank you. I appreciate that. I did. I made a note of it. Jesse Jones, please end this show.
Yeah.
with an erotic poem about, you know, paying a utility bill.
Wrote this in the car in the dark, and I'm seeing I should have rewritten it. Okay. I'm a big boy, all grown up. I turn the tap and fill my cup. Bulging with responsibility, dripping with power. Feel the fruits washing over me in a long, hot shower. A warm glow surrounds me, a switch flick, such simplicity. Feel it coursing all through me, illumination, electricity. Water, gas, light, I can touch you, hear you, see, smell, and taste you. Or I can be a tease. I've already paid. Maybe I'll just waste you. Utility, just you and me. You are adulthood's own reward. Until next month's bill, and I decide again just which of you I can't afford.
Very good. That was Snap. One more time for your contestants. Steve Ferris. Ben, the Becky Lynn Rice. And Jesse Jones. If you'd like to hear more Stabs, go to one of our many online outlets, the primary of which being stabforgold.com. Stab, the number 4gold.com. Check us out on SoundCloud, YouTube, Stitcher, and iTunes. You can subscribe, leave a review, do whatever you want. Thanks for coming. Good night.